The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Now to introduce our broadcast, here's Dr. White.
And thank you for joining us here on Word for the World on this Friday. I'm delighted that you have joined us. It's always a thrill and a joy to be able to sit with you for just a few moments and to introduce a broadcast. Now, if you've been with us this week, you know that we have been walking through a very powerful and important passage of Scripture. And that passage of Scripture is 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. I've been calling them the generosity chapters. And it is these two chapters that have taught me so much, and I pray have been teaching you so much about being a cheerful giver. You see, the context is that Paul is gathering together an offering that he's going to send to the saints who are in Jerusalem. These are saints who are very needy of assistance, financial assistance. And the Macedonians, a group that didn't have much of their own to begin with. The scripture says they were struggling in poverty, and yet they were overflowing in a liberality. We learn from this group, the Macedonians, and they became an example for us. Now today, as we continue, we're going to get into the 9th chapter. We've already looked in the 8th chapter. We've looked at the example of generosity, and we've looked at the motivation for generosity, and we've looked even at some integrity and how Christian giving should be handled in chapter 8. If you missed any of these broadcasts, of course, you can get them online for free at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. But today we come in to chapter 9, and in this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart, we're going to see that there is an enemy to generosity, and that enemy may be lurking in your life and in your mind even right now. I pray that today's broadcast is a real blessing to you, especially in that it helps you to get rid of this enemy. This enemy's a monster. In fact, before, he's been called the green-eyed monster of envy. He is envy, jealousy, greed, covetousness. This is the enemy that we are considering today as we come here into the 4th sermon of our series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart.
We've been walking and journeying through 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Take part with a generous heart has been our theme. And we've looked at a great example of generosity in the Macedonians. We have seen some motivation that he has given us for generosity. Last time we finished out chapter 8 considering the integrity of generosity and the manner in which those who receive funds from believers ought to handle those funds. Well, today we come into chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, And I want us to see the enemy of generosity. The enemy. You remember the story that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower and the soils. And as he was giving that parable, he mentioned that there were several kinds of soil, as you remember. But one of those was the pathway, and some seed fell on the pathway. And perhaps you remember what happened to the seed that fell on the pathway. The birds came in and what? Snatched it up. Never allowed that seed to germinate and to take root and to bear fruit. And in these verses that Paul gives us this morning as we're considering generosity, I believe as if it is that he wants us to know that there is an enemy that desires to come in and take this seed which has been planted in your life. It's a gracious seed, the grace of generosity that God has worked within you. And there is the possibility that the enemy would come and use one of his favorite tools that we'll see as we proceed through this passage to remove that seed, never allowing it to bear the fruit that it could bear in your life. And so I want us to consider these verses today. And to begin with, I want us to get a little personal. Can we get personal right up front? I know you're thinking, no, let's get personal towards the end of the sermon. Warm me up a little bit. But here Paul comes and he says, let's get personal right up front in verses 1 and 2. First of all, in verse 1, he says, it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. Superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry of the saints. Before we get into exactly how that gets personal with us, let's consider just a moment what he's saying. He's saying, really, it's unnecessary. There's not any need for me to write. Now, there's a couple of other times that Paul said something similar. If you'd back up just a little bit to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, we'll see there in passage of Scripture two times in which Paul has said something very similar. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says this to that church at Thessalonica. It says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. As to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. In other words, it would be superfluous for me to write to you about the love of the brethren. It would be unnecessary. There's one time that he uses that phrase. He comes again right there nearby in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just as a thief in the night. It says here it's unnecessary, it's superfluous, there's really not a need for me to educate you as it relates to the times and the seasons. So three times Paul uses this phrase. The first time he uses it to the Thessalonians and he says, I don't need to write to you about loving the brethren. Why not? Because they were such loving people that they didn't need to know about it. No, he doesn't say that's the reason. He says, I don't need to write to you about the love for the brethren because you don't need to love each other. No, that's certainly not the reason. Why does Paul say, I don't need to write to you? He says, because God has already made it perfectly clear. He said, you'd have to be dumb as a box of rocks in order not to get the fact that you're to love the brethren. I mean, God has given it out there over and over again. In fact, Jesus had said, it's the summary of all the law and the commandments, love God and love others. You don't need anything new to be written about you. And we could take the youngest child who had anything to do with any kind of Christian concept at all and say, what would God want us to do? Well, God would want us to love each other. I mean, that's basic. That's fundamental. So he says, I don't need to write to you about the love of God. You already know about that. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1, he says, I don't need to write to you about the times and the epochs. That is, I don't need to explain to you how the dispensations of the world come together to accomplish the coming kingdom of God. But there is for a different reason. He says there, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, he says, I'm not writing to you about the love of God because you already know it. Everybody knows that that's basic.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now he comes back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. He says, it's superfluous, it's unnecessary for me to write to you. Why? Because in verse 2 he says, I know of your readiness. I know of your desire. I know that it's all there. In fact, if you back up just a page to chapter 8, verse 10, he says, I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. We could go back into 1 Corinthians and read of their desire and the original instructions about being generous and taking up this offering. And so here he says, I don't need to write to you because, man, you're already doing it. He says, you're being generous. You're already setting aside on the first day of the week as you've purposed in your heart and you're putting that aside for this offering. It's almost a done deal. I don't need to write to you about it. And yet he's going to write anyway. So that's a preacher for you, isn't it? I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. Why would he say, I know you're already doing this. And there's a sense in which he says, I'm preaching to the choir here. You don't need to hear this, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. Why does he do that? Because there's an enemy lurking about. And that desire that began in them a year ago, the enemy could still come and snatch it away. And so he says, let's make sure you understand this. Let's put it some insurance in, as he's going to do in a moment. So first of all, he says, it's unnecessary for me to write to you. Now, here's where it gets personal. I wonder if Paul was somehow able to return and was scheduled to be our one-on-one mentor and discipler. And as he talked, he saw some things in your life and went through some things in your life. I wonder if he would say, you know, I don't really need to talk about generosity because I can see you're already doing that. It's evident in your life. It's just obvious that that started back a long way ago in your life, and it's continuing unto this day, and it's blossoming and it's bearing fruit. It'd be superfluous for us to talk about that. Let's go on to another subject. I wonder if that's the way it would be if he came to disciple in your life. Unnecessary for him to talk about your generosity. I hope that would be the case, but he goes on and he says in verse 2 that the generosity, the readiness about which I boast to the Macedonians, namely, here's what I boasted about, he says, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year. Now, let me help you understand the geography there a little bit. Let's suppose there's only two places in the world, Texas and Oklahoma. And all God's people said? Okay. Now, if that's the only two places there are, it's as if Paul is coming down to the Texans here, and he says, I don't need to write this to you because there's already a readiness. In fact, he says, I've been up to Oklahoma, and I've been boasting about the Texans. And he says, your zeal has stirred them up. Your generosity, your zealousness in this grace of generosity has stirred up those Okies, and now they're wanting to be generous as well. Now, that's the picture you've got here between Macedonia and Achaia. They were neighboring provinces, and he says, man, those people in Macedonia, when they see what you're doing, they're encouraged. Their zeal is stirred up, and they're blessed by it. Now, I wonder, again, if Paul were writing to you and me individually and getting rather personal, I wonder if he along the way of discipling, if he might say, now, I tell you what, why don't you, let's look at your generosity record. In fact, just pull out the contribution record, would you? Let's take a look at that. Would any of you be ready to show that to the Apostle Paul? And so we pull out our generosity record, and he begins to look at our checkbook, and he sees how generous we are. And I wonder if he would say, you know, if others saw this, their zeal would be stirred. If others saw what you're giving, not necessarily recommending it does, although I don't think we always need to be secret about it, but if he's looking at it and say, hey, if somebody did see this, I'm telling you what it would do. It wouldn't embarrass you. It would encourage them. It would motivate them. And so he comes and he gets real personal with them, and he says, your readiness and your generosity has stirred them up. I hope that it's true for me and that it's true for you, that if Paul were to come, he would say to us individually, hey, it's superfluous for me to talk about this. You're already doing it. In fact, if others were to know what you were doing, it would stir up their zeal and they'd be excited about it. I hope that's true of you personally and individually. But he's not writing to individuals here. He's writing to a church, the First Baptist Church of Corinth, no doubt. And he's saying to that church, he's saying, I don't need to write to this body of believers because collectively you're a generous people. In fact, he says, as others in neighboring areas, as they see the generosity of your church, they're inspired by that. They're encouraged by that. They're motivated and blessed by that. And they desire to get on the bandwagon of generosity and to allow that grace of God to be displayed in them. I hope that's true of this local church. I hope if Paul were here, he'd preach about something besides generosity. I hope he'd say, boy, if I've only got one sermon to preach on a special guest message, I'm not going to preach generosity because you all are doing that so well, and maybe just give a word of commendation and go on. I hope that he would be able to say, you know, your church is known for its generosity. It's known as a place that if there's a need, it's going to be met. If there's a hurt, it's going to be healed.
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494.
And as I just come together for a few minutes now to conclude this broadcast, I want to remind you, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. If you tuned into the broadcast late, we're having a series called Taking Part with a Generous Heart. It's a series that just walks through, word by word, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, the generosity chapters, as I call them, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And today, we've just looked at verses 1 and 2, where Paul comes and says, hey, it's superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints. Why? Because you're the ones fulfilling it. If there's a need, you meet it. If there's a hurt, you heal it. Friend, I really hope that describes you. But as we continue in this sermon, when we gather back together on Monday, we're going to see that there is an enemy. And Paul gets a little personal there, but in our next broadcast, Paul's going to get real. And he's going to come right down and say, hey, there are some issues that we should talk about. There are some things that we should discuss. I hope you'll be with us. Once again, if you happen to miss any portion of the broadcast, you can always catch us at randywhiteministries.org. Now, on this Friday, as I close out the broadcast, let me encourage you to contact us, even if it's just to say hi. Let us know you're listening out there. You can always do it on the toll-free number, 1-855-437-9448. Or you can email me, randy@randywhiteministries.org. You can go to our website. You can sign up for our mailing list if you'd like. You can send us a letter through the mail. We'd love to hear from you. Now, one of the things that we would like to give to you is a completely free DVD. I taught on the Antichrist. In fact, I've written a book on it as well. But I want to send you this DVD in which for about 90 minutes, I spend time just teaching about the end times and about the Antichrist. It's a free DVD. In fact, even the phone call is free, and would love to send it to you. Once again, that number is 1-855-437-9448. 1-855-437-9448. When you call, just ask for the DVD on the Antichrist. We'll send it to you absolutely free and no obligation. And also, we'll be able to put you on our mailing list, especially our electronic mailing list, so that you can get the doctrinal articles that I send out on a very regular basis. Or perhaps you're even interested in our daily devotional in your email. Call us today or send me an email. Again, it's randy@randywhiteministries.org. Let me also remind you that during the month of July, we've got a special. I've written two little booklets recently. One is called The Three Statements of Thomas. It's an encouragement about those who may be struggling with doubt. It is a journey of doubt and how to avoid it. The Three Statements of Thomas. And then another little booklet I've written is The Faith of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, certainly one of the most American of all the founding fathers. He's the iconic American in so many ways. And he said so many things about morality and so many things about God and so many things about the church, but was he a Christian? Well, from his own testimony, his own writings, we can know exactly whether or not Ben Franklin was a born-again believer. I've written just a little 50-page booklet about the faith of Benjamin Franklin. Normally these books are $7.95 a piece, but during the month of July, we have a call-in only special in which we'll send both books to you for $12, including shipping and handling. It would be a blessing to us if you would contact us. Both of these booklets, $12, The Faith of Benjamin Franklin, The Three Statements of Thomas. Call right now, 1-855-437-9448. That number will be repeated in just a moment. Now, when we come back on Monday, we'll continue with Take Part with a Generous Heart.
We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today, toll-free, at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org. Where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World. Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org.
God abandon Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer lives, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com, and that's what we do each and every day. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm glad you've joined us today. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, there were some patrolmen who went out, and they found the earth peaceful, but the response of the Lord was, how long until the Lord of hosts shows compassion for Israel? That is, peace in the world, even peace in Israel, is not enough, because God has a passion for Israel that leads it to be an everlasting kingdom. It leads it to be the only superpower of the world. And friend, until that happens, God's agenda is not done. His kingdom has not arrived. And so we were given the revelation in Zechariah 1:14 that the Lord was exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem. But you may remember they had been carried off to exile 70 years in Babylon. If you don't remember that, certainly you remember the last 2,000 years in which the Jewish people have been dispersed around the world until just these recent generations when they've begun to come back alive and come back home. So they went to Babylon and they went to the nations of the world, and the nations of the world mistreated them. And the Lord's response to the mistreatment that Babylon gave was in Zechariah 1:15, which says, but I am very angry with the nations who are at ease. For I was only a little angry, and they furthered the disaster. Ponder those words for just a moment. God looks and hears the report that the earth is at peace, and he says, I'm angry with those who are at peace. Well, this is not referring to those at peace in Zion. That comes up in another passage of scripture from another prophet. But he says, I'm angry with the nations who are at ease. I wonder if our own United States doesn't sit back in fattened glory sometimes and forget all about the nation of Israel, for whom God is exceedingly jealous. And speaking of Babylon, and then in these days of the nations of the world, the Lord says, I sent Israel off, no doubt, for punishment, but I was only a little angry, and they furthered the disaster. Isn't that the history of dispersions of Israel? The nations furthered the disaster. Our Heavenly Father, as we pray today for the peace of Jerusalem, it is our prayer that our nation, the United States of America, would understand your exceeding jealousy for Jerusalem and Zion. And whenever there is a Jew, or whenever the Israel nation needs someone to come to its aid, that the United States of America would stand there as a friend at all times. This is our prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. We're friendofisrael.com. And I'm Dr. Randy White.